Let's take our Bibles and go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. In our previous session, we saw very clearly that Jesus Christ's second time before Pontius Pilate occurred around noon on Tuesday. If you don't have this in your notes, John 19:14 tells us that those events were about the sixth hour of the day, corresponding to our noon. That is a very significant benchmark in putting the timing of these events together, because obviously that could not have occurred on the day of Jesus Christ's crucifixion, because Jesus Christ hung on the tree at Calvary for 6 hours, from about 9 a.m. till 3 p.m. So this was the day previous, our Tuesday, and finally, after giving different outs and different ways that this situation could have been handled, Pilate gives into the pressure of the mob and pronounces that Jesus Christ will be crucified. He releases Barabbas unto the mob and gives Jesus Christ over to the Roman soldiers, who then he's in their custody all the way through his time of crucifixion. In Matthew chapter 27, starting in verse 26, it says, "Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall," or into the judgment hall, "and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers." That word band, again, is this word cohort, which means technically 600 Roman soldiers. Now, practically, it could be a little less, but it was a whole group of Roman soldiers that Jesus Christ is delivered to. This is shortly after noon on our Tuesday afternoon. "And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head." In verse 31, "And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him." So this is a summary of what went on from the time shortly after noon on Tuesday all the way up to Wednesday morning when they led him away to crucify him. He was in the company of this cohort, 400 to 600 Roman soldiers, who basically tortured him and mocked him. The only other record of this particular period of time is in Mark chapter 15. You know, it's very interesting that what we're reading about occurred on the 13th of Nisan. Remember, with the Jewish reckoning of time, the 14th of Nisan, the day that Jesus Christ died, would have began at sunset. This day, the 13th of Nisan, has more written about it far and away than any other day in all of God's Word. Remember, it started with the Last Supper, and then it proceeded from there to the Garden of Gethsemane, and then from there to Jesus Christ's betrayal by Judas Iscariot, and his arrest by the Romans. And then he's taken first before Annas, and then before Caiaphas. Then he has a morning trial, and then he's taken first to Pilate, then to Herod, and then he's taken back to Pilate, and what we just read about occurred around noon on our Tuesday. There's more written about that period of time than any other in the Bible. It's so significant. Now, what follows that is there's not a lot written about the rest of Tuesday afternoon. And there's not a lot written about Tuesday evening or the beginning of the 14th of Nisan. But then where the record picks back up, as we saw in Matthew, is on Wednesday morning or the 14th of Nisan when they led him away to crucify him. But what the Word of God doesn't say does speak very loudly of continued torture. When you think of that many Roman soldiers, and you think particularly of the amassing of spiritual evil to mock and to torture and to beat and to humiliate God's only begotten Son, it just must have been horrific all Tuesday afternoon, all Tuesday evening, all what would be early our Wednesday morning, all leading up to the time of them leading Jesus away to crucify him. The only other section of Scripture that deals with this period of time from leaving Pilate and then leading up to the time of leading him away to crucify him is in Mark chapter 15, and we will start in verse 16. It says, and the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band, the whole cohort. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns. The word plaited means they braided a crown of thorns and put it upon his head and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. You know, this mock worship of the king, just mocking him, attempting to humiliate him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. Again, so this is just a brief summary of what occurred after noon on Tuesday, all the way up to early Wednesday morning when they led him away to crucify him. The result of this torture, the result of this mockery, the result of what these Roman soldiers and these evil spirits inflicted upon Jesus Christ, we can read about in Isaiah 52. Isaiah chapter 52, it says in verse 14, as many were astonished, that's Old English, astonished, as many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. This is prophecy of the sufferings of Christ. His visage was so marred more than any man, more than any other man. Later on it says, beyond semblance, beyond recognition. His form more than the sons of men. This is the result of this incredible torture that went on. It had started the night before, and it continued through Tuesday. Now, after Pilate pronounces the death sentence, he's just simply given over to this Roman cohort. Think of what 400 to 600 men, soldiers, could do to Jesus Christ. Now, where the record picks back up, let's remember that sunset on what was our Tuesday began the 14th of Nisan. And the Word of God is silent of the period of that evening and all those early morning hours, but the record picks back up with the events of sunrise, early morning, on this 14th of Nisan, on what we would call Wednesday. And let's go to Matthew chapter 27 again. In Matthew chapter 27, it says at the end, again, they put his own raiment, his own clothing on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, again, this is Wednesday morning, and as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him, the Simon of Cyrene, they compelled to bear his cross. The cross was a tree, would have had its limbs cut off. It was the Roman method of capital punishment, perhaps a little notch for where his feet would rest, but it was just basically a tree. And so who was compelled to carry Jesus Christ's cross, the implement of his crucifixion? Well, it was Simon of Cyrene. You know, one of the things that comes out in this record, this word led in verse 31 should be translated dragged or carried. Why? Because at this point in time, by Wednesday morning, Jesus Christ has gone through almost 40 hours, you know, approximately 34, 36 hours of torture, you know, going all the way back to the time they arrested him. You know, Jesus Christ couldn't have carried his tree, couldn't have carried his physical cross to Calvary. They had to drag him. They had to carry him. The one that was enlisted for this service was Simon of Cyrene. Look at Mark chapter 15. You know, you've probably seen the pictures of Jesus Christ carrying his cross up to Golgotha, up to Calvary. Well, he didn't. The Bible is very, very clear that it was carried by Simon of Cyrene. In Mark chapter 15, in verse 20, it says, "And when they had mocked him," verse 20, "they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led," or dragged him, or carried him, "out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross." You know, this is just so amazing that this Simon of Cyrene was there at Jerusalem, and they had just sort of randomly picked him to be the one to carry Jesus' cross. Here it gives information. He's the father of Alexander and Rufus. But yet he was the one selected for this incredibly horrific deed, to participate in it. Look at Luke chapter 23. This would have made Simon of Cyrene unclean to eat the Passover meal. Luke chapter 23, in verse 26, it says, "And as they led him," or as they dragged him away, "they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus." Now, isn't it clear from all three records that we've read, from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that Jesus Christ did not carry his cross up to Calvary, but it was borne by Simon of Cyrene. Well, where does the confusion come from? Because you've probably seen the artwork. In fact, at this time of the year, as we approach the time of Christ's resurrection, you'll see pictures in the newspaper of people that are carrying the cross because they want to imitate Jesus and things like that. Well, the confusion has come from John misunderstanding a scripture in John chapter 19. The physical cross that Jesus Christ was crucified, upon which he was put to death, was carried up to Calvary by Simon of Cyrene. We've seen that very clearly. But how about the record in John 19, in verse 16? It says, "Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led or dragged him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him." Now, here you have an apparent contradiction, don't you? We've seen overwhelming evidence from the scripture that Simon of Cyrene was the one that carried the physical cross of Jesus. That's true. So what is John chapter 19, verse 17 referring to, where it says, "He bearing his cross"? Well, the cross that Jesus Christ bore was the spiritual cross. His responsibility to redeem mankind. This isn't talking about the physical cross. This is talking about the spiritual cross, the responsibility they bore for all of us. What was it that he bore? Well, look at Isaiah chapter 53. I tell you, it's a lot more than a piece of wood. Isaiah chapter 53. It says, in verse 4, "Surely he hath borne our griefs." This is the cross that Christ bore. "Surely he hath borne our griefs." The word griefs is sicknesses. "And carried our sorrows." The word sorrows is pains. "Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." This is the cross that Christ bore. What did he bear? He bore our sicknesses. He bore our pains. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is the cross that Christ bore. Praise the Lord that he did it. Look at Colossians chapter 2. You can see how if somebody just read John 19, they could think that Jesus was carrying the physical implement of his death up to Golgotha. But you got to let the Word of God build up. Got to let the Scripture build up and get the whole picture. Who was it that carried the tree up to Calvary? It was Simon of Cyrene. So what cross did Christ bear? Well, what he bore was our sicknesses, our pains. All of that was laid upon him. Our iniquity was laid upon him, and he bore it. He paid the price for all of it. Colossians chapter 2, in verse 14, it says, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. See, this is the price that Christ paid. This is what he bore. Everything that was against us, the handwriting of ordinances that would have convicted us as being guilty, Jesus Christ bore it. He took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Look at Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. This is the price that Jesus Christ was paying. This is what he bore for mankind, for all of us. In Matthew chapter 8, in verse 16, it says, "When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our," what? Sicknesses. This is what he bare. This is the cross that Christ bore for all of us. He took our infirmities. Upon him, the Lord laid that. God put all of our iniquities, our sicknesses, our faults, our failures upon him. This is the cross that Christ bore. It's a spiritual cross. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Boy, what we're reading about are the greatest events in all of human history. The sufferings of Christ, now leading up to his crucifixion and death, him paying the price for all of our sins. There's no greater events having no greater significance than these, except what follows the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says in verse 21, "For he, God, hath made him," Jesus Christ, "to be sin for us." The word sin here is sin offering. God hath made Jesus Christ to be the sin offering for us, who knew no sin. He was a lamb without spot nor blemish. He was perfect man. He knew no sin. He was our Passover, the perfect sacrifice, the perfect sin offering for us. That, here's the purpose, we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ bore his cross for all of us. He bore our sicknesses. He bore our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He bore all of our iniquities. He knew no sin. He was the perfect Passover lamb. And he died as a substitute in place of all of us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.